Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Tamara, you're on.
All right. Welcome, everyone. My name is Tamara Thorpe. Is Marcus on and Mr. Walter? Are you guys on here as well?
Yeah, anybody who's on listening, which you're on the board, just press 1 so we can patch
you into.
Yes,
they can be connected in.
Right. Press 1. If you're on the phone, which we got a number of people. Here we go. 240, your mic is open. Well, 240 times 2, your mic is open.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Gone. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I'm on.
How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing all right.
And was that your voice, Mr. Walter?
Huh?
I thought I heard Walter's voice. Are you?
Yes, it is. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
Fine.
Doing all right today.
And is Marcus on?
It's what?
She has Marcus on.
I don't hear Marcus. But
yeah.
Well, since the last time we spoke, I'd like to kind of get it started. You and I have sat and talked and did a little small YouTube video that we're going to put out. Talk about just the things that are going on with you, Ike, as far as the homeless thing, and just for the listeners who weren't in touch on the last call, you can kind of give an update on your situation and what this story is that we're trying to tell to the world.
Well, I've been homeless. I'm still homeless. I've been homeless for about 5-6 years now, and it's been a struggle for me, you know, just maintaining my psychic on the fact that, you know, it's not working for me, you know what I'm saying? Because I made some mistakes in my life, but I corrected them, but I'm still a human being. I just, you know, going through a phase of my life and being homeless is one of them. And it's pretty hurtful to know that a lot of more people like me are homeless. I'm in Washington, D.C., and it shouldn't be like that. The reason is unknown to me, but you know, I'm just trying to cope with the situation, but it's hard. Not being able to get a shower or, you know, go in the refrigerator to get something to eat. Always, you hear a lot of negative people, you know, dropping their feelings on you when they know your situation. That's hurtful. That's frustrating, you know, but it ain't easy, man. I'm just trusting in God that everything's going to be all right. I'm not trying to be in the street where I die from hypothermia or have to get my legs or arms amputated because I have nowhere to go. And I really don't want to go to the shelters because the shelters are out of bounds. And a lot of stuff that's going on that I ain't trying to be a part of. Fighting my own people over stuff that don't mean nothing. So, been a struggle for me and I had my own place to live. And if I had a chance, I would like to help those that, unfortunately, like myself, that's home. Besides, kids are home. Right. Family. So I'm just trying to put a spin on it where we can help those that's fortunate to other people. As far as health is concerned and being able to get a warm meal.
Ice, your phone is a little bit echoey. Can you take it off a speaker and talk?
It's not on the speaker.
Oh, okay.
I got the mic in my ear, though. That might be what it's on.
Yeah, that's a little better since you started talking. Okay.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I mean, I ain't got it on speaker, though.
Okay.
And I've been... It's been messing with my psyche as far as being homeless. You hear a lot of people make jokes of it and all that stuff, but, you know, it ain't easy, man. It hurts me mentally, more mentally and physically. It's grateful that I ain't froze to death out there in the snow, you know what I'm saying? And I pray to God that I don't be a statistic like that. I feel sorry for the other people that out there in the in them elements right now. I just ask God that everybody that's homeless find some shelter where it's warm at. Blizzard is really serious out there. So, you know, I'm been just maintaining right now. It's hurting me, you know. But what can I do? I can't jump out there and try to take nothing from nobody. I used to think like that and end up in a bad situation with the court system. So realize I can't beat them and I'm not trying to show them. So just stay in my lane now and do what I try to stay, you know, positive about the situation. It's going to get better. But I keep telling myself.
Lee, you said that you have a little bit of history with the homeless issue. Can you kind of enunciate, break some of that down and get and maybe get, help get Ike some direction as far as what we can do for him? Is Lee on?
Sorry, I had myself muted. One of the primary root causes of homelessness, particularly here in the United States, it can be rooted in the mainstream educational system, be it public or private school. Essentially, we've been miseducated. You go through an academic program and they basically don't, you know, I got a college degree. They basically teach you stuff that, to a higher degree, 2 years of a four-year course study is waste, is really a waste. If you look at, and we're podcasting on Black Towns Radio, and the name of this podcast is Black Towns Solution to Reversing Homelessness. So if we look at what Black Townships did over 100 years ago, or if we look at what mankind did, or look at one of the primary reasons why African slaves as teenagers were brought over to the United States, you'll see the key to homelessness. Now, I'll take a character out of the miniseries Roots, Kunta Kinte. Kunta Kinte was captured at 17. But what Kunta Kinte, the skill set that Kunta Kinte had at 17, as well as the average male slave when they were captured and brought to the Western Hemisphere, was the fundamental life skill called how to build your own house. In the United States, the Amish community, they only go through grades 1 through 8. That's it for them. So how can you go through grades 1 through 8 and then you be part of a business that takes in $5 million a year? Well, fundamentally, they know a life skill of how to build a house so without bank financing. So, and they don't teach that in school due to various reasons today politically, because bankers basically control politicians. Politicians control the school board, and bankers set the school curriculum that you have through grades 1 through 8, all the way up to graduating from college. That basic life skill of how to build a house without bank financing is not taught. That's how you have people that graduated from Ivy League schools that are living at the Salvation Army. So one of the things we do is we actually teach people like Slim how to build your own house without bank financing. So when it comes to homelessness, once you pick up that skill set in about 7 days and build your own house, you'll never be homeless again.
Wow.
Oh, and the second part of that, hold it. The second part of that is it. Actually, that's the second part. I gave you the second part first. The first part is this, and they don't teach this in school. They really should teach this, like, from grade 1. In the United States, only 15% of the available land mass is occupied, which means 85% of the land mass of the United States, nobody lives on it. So they have over 200 million people. Let me break that down. The 15% that is inhabited in the United States, 5%, which is the urbanized part of the United States, D.C., New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Durham, North Carolina, Miami, all those places, that's the 5% urbanized part of the land mass. So you have over 200 million people living on that. So it's not a matter of racism. It's a matter of basic economics, the law of supply and demand. If you have 200 million people living on only 5% of the land mass, you're going to have shortages. And then when you miseducate them, you know, you're going to have homelessness. The remaining 10% of the inhabited part of the United States is rural area. You know, something that's an hour to 2 hours away from a D.C., like West Virginia. All right. But 85% of the United States is uninhabited, and a good part of it is wilderness. In other words, nobody even set foot there as far as even 2016. So once you learn how to build a house without bank financing, which is a life skill, okay, then you need to, before you even build it, you need to know where to build that house. So if you build it in an area where you don't have that many people, then, you know, you're even more secure. So that's why we have this on this podcast, Black Towns Radio, because the former slaves, after slavery was abolished, how could an ex-slave with no formal education as we know it today, with no government assistance, because it was no Section 8, it was no social services office, how could these ex-slaves build entire townships, some of which exist today? How could they do that? Well, they basically had the skill set of building their own house, building infrastructures, and building townships. That's how the United States was built, off the technical know-how of Africans. And they built, what they did was they stepped outside the slave areas of the United States. I mean, even after it was abolished with Jim Crow and all that, they moved to areas where they can establish their own townships, get municipal charters, and be free, even at the time of high lynching. So we go through all that, basically where to set up shop and where to build the homestead. And that way, like say, when it comes to the issue of homelessness, you won't have that, at least that life problem to ever deal with again. So it can, your reality can be reversed once you get just reeducated with some hands-on experience in about 7 to 10 days. That's what we do.
Let me ask you this, Lee, because I mean that's very educational and informative, and Iceberg is a leader of our community as far as the entertainment world and a teacher. He'll say some things sometimes that only someone of intelligentsia should know. How do we join what you're talking about with his plight and his network and basically combine your network with that?
Well, if his home network is people that need a place to stay, because really the whole thing of what we're talking about here is generational wealth. Everybody on this podcast right now, or who will ever listen to this podcast, basically we should all be independently wealthy. The system is really set up that way. However, due to the fact that we've been miseducated, and if you haven't read the book, The Miseducation of the Negro by Carter G. Woodson, I highly recommend it. But everybody across the board in Western culture, particularly the United States, including white folks, are generally miseducated. Even if they live in Beverly Hills in a big house, typically that house has got a mortgage on it, They got car notes with car notes. And if you have to borrow money to buy a house or borrow money to buy a car, you're essentially broke. In his network, believe it or not, being homeless is really a blessing in disguise because you can start off with from scratch and just basically re-educate yourself with hands-on experience within a matter of days or weeks, and then go from there. I don't know everybody in his network, but because everybody's at a different stage in life, but if you, like I said, if you got a network of homeless people, then you can essentially get your own 40 acres and a mule, well, 40 acres and a laptop, or 40 acres and some type of reliable transportation, and essentially set up your own town. If that answers your question.
Yes.
But anyway, okay. We'll throw it back to Tamara.
Okay, and if anyone's in the D.C. area and sees a homeless person, you can call 1-800-535-7252 so that they can be picked up and taken to a shelter. Again, that's 1-800-535. Has Mark been added on yet to the podcast?
Excuse me?
I said, has Mark been added on yet to the podcast?
I don't know.
Marcus, maybe you could shed a little bit of light for the listeners who weren't on the last podcast of who Iceberg is, Garland, Go-Go, and what he means to our community and how to many people who grew up watching him during his prime, his heyday, the times when he was, you know, doing things for the community, making us happy, making us dance, making us, educating us in the different ways he did through his interaction and network. Can you talk about who that person was to you because you were there?
Yeah, I was delighted when Lee started the show with the song that Iceberg was in. It brought me back to a time when, you know, if you grew up in D.C., Go-Go is king. And one of the people that was a pioneer, I should say, in that movement was Iceberg. So well, we would go out and, you know, get our cassette tapes. You know, back in the day we used to get tapes. We, you know, there'd be shout-outs on the tapes. And invariably, you would hear Iceberg Slim, and you'd be wondering to yourself, who is this Iceberg Slim? So, you know, that was just part of the culture. And, you know, we listened to the music, we listened to different bands, we used to go out to different go-go's, and as we all know, you know, there was a hype put around go-go music that it was violent, but it wasn't the music, it was, I guess it was the times, but as far as Iceberg goes, yeah, he was very inspirational to me when I was a young man, and helped lay the foundation for, you know, what we have today. So, and I was really disappointed that, you know, we as a Washingtonians would, you know, have one of our icons in a situation where he's not able to, you know, get the help that he needs because people are, you know, don't want to reach out and help a brother out. So mm-hmm. Iceberg, would you mind telling the people a little bit about what happened to you in terms of, you know, when you were first starting out in the music business? And also, I would love for you to share your concept of Wake Up America that we discussed a couple of days ago.
Okay, well, you know, basically back in the day when Go-Go, you know, I used to love music, still love music. And I went to the Go-Go's, and I just love this party and dance. And, you know,
everywhere I went, I drew a crowd of people that loved, you know, was partying with me. So, but from afar, the band noticed that, and they asked me to go on the studio, and then, you know, came out with Don't Test That Stereo. It went double platinum, but I didn't know the business side of the game, and they had everything in black and white to their advantage. And that, you know, that's the part that's really bothering me. That I didn't reap none of the benefits from the royalties of the song, but, you know, I didn't know the business side of the game, but I got played. So that was it, and I'm thinking about that. It was fun while it was lasting. Go-go music was a part of our own culture, like you said, and you know.
And talk up a little bit about Wake Up America. Concept.
Iceberg. Iceberg, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, we wanted you to speak a little bit on the concept of Wake Up America and where it came from and what it is.
Well, it came from me. Wake Up America is trying to wake our own people up to the fact that we need to love and respect one another as human beings, first and foremost, to stop black-on-black violence in our city streets. Because it's the murder rate is at alarming rate back then and now. And we were singing about burning guns and stop burning bodies because a lot of people lost loved ones back in the 70s and 80s when they was killing 400 or 500 in D.C. at the time. And Wake Up America is that we want to bring us together as a race to stop the violence towards each other or anyone, you know, and learn how to love and respect each other. And it's all right to there to get old. Wake Up America is about, it's a conscious concept of people working together, helping one another, showing love and respect for each other as human beings first. It ain't about how much money you got or whatever. Learn how to love and treat people with respect. You know, if you want respect, you got to give respect. So, like we said, we're going to march through the Capitol with a casket like we burn guns. Because guns and knives don't kill. People kill each other every day. And it's sad that you read about it in newspapers and on the news. You know, too much violence in this world, not enough love. So the concept is to enlighten the people that, you know, you got to love yourself before you can love anybody else. And Wake Up America is about that. You got to respect your mother and father. And thank about this life itself. And it's all right to live to get old. As long as you respect yourself and respect everybody else around you, you should be all right. In society, not prison. Going to jail don't make you a man. Staying out of jail makes you a man. That's the concept. Wake Up America. So, just want to reach out and test those youngins that think it's putting stripes on your manhood because you stab or kill somebody. That makes the matters worse. Don't make it better. So, it's about trying to teach your kids this. It's all right to love and respect yourself as well as you respect somebody else. You know what I'm saying? But when you're in the environment of violence and ambulance, drugs and all this, everybody's just confused about what they want to do, what they want to be. Once you get in trouble with the system, it's a rep. They're giving out football numbers. So I ain't on parole or probation. That's a good thing. It took me a long time to learn that. But I can't beat the system. So I could save one brother from going to prison. I'm going to do that because going to jail don't make you a man. Staying out of jail makes you a man. That was the concept of Wake Up America, trying to bring the people together in a positive way.
Thank you. Hey, Tamara, do you have some information? Because what we're trying to do, our aim here is to build on Iceberg's entertainment and educational history, his homeless situation, and his ability to reach with his message many, many people who are also dealing with the same issues that he speaks of on Wake Up America. So do you have some information? Because we're trying to start building a team through a Facebook account. Iceberg is about to have a YouTube come out and all the different things that are about to kind of send his message out and so he can join forces with other people who are like mine.
I definitely do. So if anyone would like to get in contact with Iceberg Slim or just with his message and Wake Up America itself, you can email egosports@gmail.com. That's egosports@gmail.com.
Okay. And that's temporary. We're going to have a Facebook page set up. When is the next show for Iceberg, Ice and Lee?
I don't know right now. Me, I don't know it. I'm waiting. I'll just go by.
Okay, we're waiting on Mr. Davis for that.
Okay.
Are there any call-in listeners that might want to that know Ice or Go-Go or might want to have something to say or know something about this the homeless, the politics, the nuts and bolts of it?
No, you got listeners right now, Walt.
Okay. Marcus, anything else you want to add?
I guess I just want to say that, you know, just listen to Iceberg. That I know he has a lot to share with anybody that's interested in having them come out and maybe talk to some young people or share some of his life experience. And, you know, we need to get a network there. We need to get in contact with one another. So I'm just encouraging people to reach out through the Gmail account. And if Tamara can give it again, then you know, we can get in contact with people and maybe we can network this thing.
Definitely. And that email address again is egosports@gmail.com. That's egosports@gmail.com. And also, if you're in the D.C. area, because it's definitely a blizzard outside as we speak, if you see a homeless person outside, please call the number 1-800-535-7252 so that they can be picked up and taken to a shelter, because this weather is very dangerous for people to be outside. Again, that number is 1-800-535-7252.
So anything else you want to say, Iceberg?
Yeah, I just, you know, I just hope those that need shelter find it out there, because, like you said, it's a blizzard out there. I don't want to hear no bad news about anyone dying from hypothermia or nature, or mother nature, you know what I'm saying? Everybody deserves shelter and food and a place to lay their head and get a nice shower. So I just hope, pray, that's what I'm praying for, that everybody be safe out there.
And Ice, what is, to our listeners, what is our goal with this? What are we trying to do? If Ice can lead the way, how would you like to help people?
Well, I would like to help people be able to get off these streets, man, and get the services that they need in order to better themselves. You know what I'm saying? Reach out to anybody that needs it, man, because not a selfish thing, it's a we thing. These countries too rich in everything, resources for any people to be homeless and nowhere to go. They run in the streets with mental problems. They need all kinds of help, man. It's sad that Americans just sit back and watch it unfold, man. Wish you could have a place for people that can go and without these cold elements, without people subjecting themselves to extra violence on top of that, you know what I mean?
I was looking at some of your Wake Up America literature, and that was basically lyrics for upcoming songs. So the way I'm getting a read on this is your homeless situation or plight or obstacle is in the way of you being able to create what you do best, music and so forth. Am I right? Are you trying to do something with Wake Up America as far as down the road to keep your legacy going in the music industry?
Yeah. If I can get with the right people that we're going to break bread together, yeah, I don't have no problem with it. I do a lot of writing. I don't play no instruments, but I got the energy to go into the studio and help do some positive. See, Wake Up America is a positive conscious song. Just been trying to get it out there for the longest time, but just can't, you can't trust everybody. I'm going to break bread. We're going to do it I'd rather do it the right way or don't do it at all because my bad experience with, don't test that story or with some double patent. And I didn't wait the benefits that I should have. So that's, if I get to hook up with some people that do music, I ain't got no problem with that. Just willing to help, get Wake Up America to produce and put out this. Hello?
Yeah.
I'm here.
Okay. So, Iceberg. Is he still there? Iceberg.
Can we? Paul.
Yeah, so how are you gonna get through this winter, Mr. Iceberg?
Hey, man, that's a struggle, man. You know what I'm saying? Being jobless, homeless, and moneyless, man, is for me, man. I'm not trying to, jump out there, do nothing drastic to help. They take my freedom from me, so I'm just trying to manage, man. Best I know how, it ain't easy. I don't know. I'm going through a crisis in my life, but, this is a lot to deal with, man. But by the grace of God, I made this far, so I'm still trusting God to see me through it all.
Can you talk about those old days in Washington? Because for a lot of listeners who aren't from here or weren't during that particular era, that was a special time for the people that did witness it, and you were, as far as I'm concerned, one of the centerpieces of that time. Can you talk about that time and kind of let them live vicariously through you as far as the golden era of Iceberg Slim?
I mean, that was, Go-Go was at his finest, man. He was going to some different arenas and having a good time, but the negativity followed Go-Go. But Go-Go was a event that was enjoyable, man. The good and the bad, man. Fun time in the city. We had our own music. And, everybody showed up and showed out at the Go-Go. And it was a positive environment more than negative, but the news gonna portray Go-Go as a negative situation because of violence that was occurring in the streets. But Go-Go to me was our own music, man, and we had a good time partying with the people and listening to different bands, the Razzes, Trouble Funk, Mass Extinction, all those peacemakers, going to the Coliseum days, and it was 20,000 people in the building having a good time. So Go-Go is part of our culture, man, and we need to keep Go-Go alive, not let it go by the wayside because some people don't like it, or some negative part of our environment made it look bad. So just trying to keep Go-Go alive in our home down in Washington, D.C. And all the old school people, they know. They've been there and done that, too. They know how fun it was, how much fun it was. So I just hope, that we can keep Go-Go alive in a positive way.
Now, Iceberg, once again, back to your homeless situation. I have been with you and or seen you in the streets where we're, sometimes we're not even together, and people ride by and they screaming out cliches and slogans and don't touch that stereo. When they see you, it's almost like you rejuvenate for them those good old feelings. Are any of those people trying to help you? Because you know too many people not to be able to get any help from anybody. If just 2% of the people I've seen screaming at you help, then you'd be living in a mansion.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, man. People have got real selfish nowadays. It's a selfish world we're living in 2016, man. You know what I'm saying? And people, you got, they know about it, but I don't know if you got empathy for me. I'm still a human being, though. I ain't did nothing that bad, but I couldn't, nobody could reach out and help them. I haven't raped nobody's kids or done nothing to anybody, like, but the whole world is against me. So I'm just hoping and praying that God make test their heart, man. I can get some support, you know what I mean? So I can do better for myself, man.
So what you're saying is that's reality. They'll sing and dance with you during the good times, but during the bad times, you're on your own.
Yeah, man. It seems like that because, you know, it's been a while, man. Like I said, there's people that got real selfish reasons I don't even know. Everybody claiming to know God. Where's the compassion for one another out here, man? You know? Well, I've asked myself, you know, we're supposed to help one another, man, prosper, man, in this world. And no man do it by himself.
So. Yeah. And like I say, I'm not trying to take away from anybody else's struggle, but you knew so many people. I mean, I've looked at you, like I say, and it's almost to the point where, hey, if everybody that claims to love Iceberg Slim when I'm around just gave you 50 cents, you wouldn't have any homeless problems. You'd have, like I say, a house, a car, and the picket, the whole 9 yards.
Yeah, man. But, you know, that's logical, but, you know, like I said, it's I don't know, man. It's a painted picture that's unbelievable, man. People, like you say, when they're going to, you know, hear your name and all that, but it's just the fact that I got took up for Raw back in the day as far as I didn't know the music side, business side of the game, you know. And they took advantage of that, so, you know, I'm still known in this town, but just don't have the money to show for it. And that plays a lot on my psyche, too. But God says vengeance is here, so I can't take how I feel and do something negative, man. I'm just trying to maintain and hope it ain't going to last too long. So if I can, as long as I'm breathing, I got soul, I know I got enough energy to put into stuff. If, you know, Wake Up America, copyrighted, benefits from that, because I have I own that, you know, and they can't steal that from me. So I'm just basically, man, caught between a rock and a hard place right now.
We're gonna start from the ground up, Ice, and I think we have initiated a good team here with Tamara and Marcus and the concept that Lee was talking about build your own home. And you know, I think it's just a matter of getting the word out because, you know, I'm being cynical, but I think there are some good people that appreciated what you did, and I think it's our job just to let them know that they can join us in this cause to show that appreciation.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate them too. We're all in this together, man. You know, if I can help somebody, man, I don't have no problem. Because I know I've been in the current, they're going.
That's what you were. You were the guy that always wanted to help. So to be the guy that needs help is kind of inconsistent with the iceberg that we all grew up with. And maybe that's why that's why people somewhat are dealing with a element of denial here, that because you always showing the love. So maybe now that it's time to show love, they just don't understand it. So we're going to make them understand it.
Okay. Well. that's what it's all about, man. Showing love back, giving it back to everybody. I don't know.
And I appreciate, you know, the love out there. If there's any out there, I appreciate y'all, man.
Okay. Well, we're going to do another show with the blessings of Mr. Lee Davis. And from there, we'll have some more contact information. And like I said, we'll join teams that are also of like mind for what you're trying to do. And anybody that wants to join us, we it's an open door.
Okay.
Tamara, I know the hour is running down, so anything you'd like to add, you or Marcus?
I think this was a very successful show, just basically reiterating what you guys were saying, that it's going to be a team effort, so the more people we have, the more we can get people winning, because what people fail to realize is you don't have to lose. Someone doesn't have to lose for you to win. We can all win together.
Okay, well, I think that about wraps it up. Mr. Davis, Marcus, anything you'd like to add before we sign off?
I just wanted to say that I think we have a excellent opportunity to, you know, show our appreciation and respect for one of the pioneers of Go-Go. And, you know, we really need to, and I know I would personally like to thank him for, you know, bringing so much joy to my life. And if there's any way that we can get together and help this brother out, that would be more than appreciated.
Okay. And for you listeners, this is not just a D.C. local problem. It's a national, global problem. We want to keep our lines open. We want to build a coalition where you can rally around us and we can rally around you and work together, because it's strength in numbers. It's easy to ignore one ICE, but it's hard to ignore 1,000 ICEs or 10,000 or the many people that are affected by this plague, this epidemic of homelessness. So with the next show we do, please stay in touch. We will have the lines open, and we want to join the homeless family or helping the homeless family together. So we're down. Mr. Davis, anything you'd like to add before we sign off?
Yeah, on the music business part, for anybody who's interested in entertainment, I would suggest that you can go on Amazon or YouTube and start learning about intellectual property, because that's where he got caught. He didn't know anything about intellectual property and contracts, and he can recover a lot by just simply today going online and just watching a few YouTube videos on what intellectual property is, how to monetize it, that type of thing. Even on an entertainment level, the TV show Empire, polarizing show, depending on who you speak to, but at the root cause, the TV show Empire is about two things that everybody needs to learn about. Intellectual property, which most entertainers know nothing about. That's why you hear about entertainers decade after decade, both black and white, with these rip-off stories, because they don't know anything about intellectual property and contracts and generational wealth. So the TV show, at the root cause, I would watch that show with that hat on. But, yeah, go online and start looking up intellectual property and studying up on the different type of contracts, because everything that I said here today is basically intellectual property, which he can monetize himself. I mean, he can do e-books, he can do audio books. That's all intellectual property. His story is a library of intellectual property. But he needs to learn the basics of intellectual law, intellectual property, and contracts. That way, he might not ever need a lawyer, or if he does, he speaks the same language as the intellectual property rights lawyer, because it is a language, just like Spanish and Russian or any foreign language. Law has its own vocabulary and law. So I would recommend that. And then the next thing is on a homelessness situation, I can't suggest anything in a municipality of D.C., because that's a whole nother kettle of fish, but if he's willing to step about an hour outside of D.C., you know, we can help him that way. Let me throw this term out there. I wish I learned this when I was back, actually in high school. There's two terms everybody needs to know, on the grid and off the grid. Washington, D.C. is on the grid. That means you're in a heavily regulated area. The laws of supply and demand come in, and you're nickel and dime. It's expensive to live in D.C. You're on the grid.
Right.
However, if you move off the grid in a less populated area, like somewhere like West Virginia or Southern Maryland, okay, not too far away from D.C., so if you want to come to D.C. with family, friends, or whatever, that's cool. You want to do business in D.C., that's fine. But you live off the grid, and then you visit or make money on the grid. But you don't want to try to do everything on the grid, because if you look at D.C.'s population, when they released that record, don't touch that stereo. D.C.'s population, Chocolate City, was 78%. It's down to 50%, and soon it'll probably drop below 49%. So there's a whole lot of people, black folk and white folk, that lived in D.C. that are no longer in D.C. And that's a whole nother podcast when you get into municipalities. But I would say, you know, if you're willing to move away, then we can teach you how to build your own house without bank financing, and then you can go in and out of D.C. as you please. But I got a house in D.C., and I don't live in D.C. Mm. So there's a reason for that. So, like I say, D.C. is a place where you can business, visit friends or whatever. But it's Washington, D.C., like I say, this is a whole other podcast, is really owned by Wall Street. And they basically own the politicians, the mayors, and all that, and they got the rules, regulations. So to really stay in D.C., you got to move outside of it. Or if you stay in D.C., you're on a treadmill. I mean, they got parking, residential parking. They just nickel and dime you to death. D.C.'s a plantation. So that's a whole nother 2, 3, 4, 5 podcast. But if you want,
yeah, I definitely want to talk about gentrification and the effect it's had on D.C.'s population over the years, and the effect it's having there.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I'll give you a prime example of the miseducation. Well, everybody needs to read the book, The Miseducation of the Negro. Dr. Francis Cress Welsin, who used to work at Howard University, she lived up on the Gold Coast in D.C. And we're talking about houses that were worth $500,000 to $1 million in her neighborhood. Her neighborhood got gentrified. Now, how could that happen? Well, you have people with... she was a medical doctor, a psychiatrist, you know, well-known, making good money. How could a Gold Coast neighborhood get gentrified? And we can link it right back to, because my theory on why she passed, she was stressed out. She was the last person standing on her block. How could her neighborhood, how could a high-income neighborhood get gentrified in Washington, D.C.? It comes down to one thing. They didn't know the rules. Like I say, intellectual property in the case of music. In her case, she didn't know the laws, or her neighbors didn't know municipality law. And I'll end the program. Well, I'm not. I'll end it on an iceberg swim song that we started off with. But when it comes to gentrification, listen to Dr. Claude Anderson. Basically, if you want to prevent gentrification in your neighborhood, essentially you have to, as Dr. Claude Anderson would say, buy, lease, or rent politicians. There are four branches of government, not three. Most people just know about the judicial,
legislative,
and an executive. But there's a fourth branch of government, which is the most powerful branch of government. It's not official, it's de facto. And that's lobbyists and political action committees. Essentially, politicians work for lobbyists, special interest groups, and very rich people. So you have to organize a wolf pack politically, and then you buy, lease, or rent your politicians, as Dr. Claude Anderson said. That's where African Americans need to get to. Until we get to that and exercise that fourth branch of power, which, I mean, put it this way, Obama is a figurehead. That's all he is. Matter of fact, if you know how to play chess, I look like that, like I'll compare it to a chessboard. Politicians, including the President of the United States or mayor of your town or a congressman or senator, on a chess set, the pawns are all politicians. Name them what you want. The powers behind the politicians are the rooks, the kings, the bishops, the queens, those pieces. They basically direct the politicians to set, this is what's going to be taught in school. This is what neighborhood is going to be gentrified or whatever. Now, here's the good thing about the fourth branch of power. People like Iceberg Slim can reverse his reality simply by learning the rules of the game. You can go to law school. That's one way to do it. You can take a paralegal course. That's one way to do it. Or you can go on YouTube and just look at two things, contracts and intellectual property. Look up those two things, and your life will have a dramatic change. On that note, we're going to end it as we began it with Iceberg Slim's Don't Touch That Stereo.
Don't touch that stereo.